Welcome to the Java.net Community Corner podcast series for Java 1 2007. In this series of podcasts, we bring you the activity of the Community Corner, located at booth 408 on the Java 1 Pavilion floor, including mini talks about projects hosted on Java.net and other community activities.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to the first After Hours mini presentation at Java at the Java.net Community Corner. Speaking in this very first After Hours presentation will be Arsham Porsohi. He is from Sun Microsystems Laboratories. He will be speaking about sunspots and the Squawk technology that they run on. Arshan?
Hi, everybody. So first, a quick overview. What a sunspot is. And it's a small device meant for wireless sensor networks. It's really a development kit. What you get in a single sunspot is a main board that's got an ARM9 and 802.15.4 chip on it. There's another project called Squawk. It's a JVM. It runs... No, it's turned down. It's turned down on purpose. So it's got a JVM on it that's meant for to ease development for these embedded environments, which generally have a bit of a higher ramp-up time than this. You also get a sensor board that's got a 3D accelerometer, a light sensor, a temperature sensor, two switches, a bunch of LEDs that you can control, six analog inputs, five general-purpose I/O pins that can be used for TTL-level digital interfacing to other sensors and other devices, four high-current output pins that you can use to control small motors and things like that. Really, the idea here was there's a lot of Java developers out there, and we wanted to make it really easy for them to get into controlling things in the world and sensing things in the world. And this After Hours thing is great. So we wanted to make close the gap that we saw between a Java developer and the world, so connecting Java devices out there to real things. So what does that get you? Well, it lets you develop into sensor networks. It lets you do robotics, autonomous control sorts of applications. And then the general field of embedded and pervasive computing. You might have heard of the term smart dust. And the idea here is you develop onto sunspots, which are about the size of a cell phone right now. But it's not hard to imagine them being the size of sugar cubes 10 years down the line, and then a carcinogen a little bit after that, I guess. So we want to bridge the gap. We want to be able to quickly deploy these things. So if you've ever developed for, say, a dozen computers that have to work in sync to do something, it's kind of a headache. If you've ever developed for 100 computers to do that, it's like a whole other person has to do the synchronization between the computers. What we want to do is develop to environments where you've got 1,000 computers. They're not necessarily high-power workstations, and they're not necessarily all the same. So you've got things that everything from microcontroller-like devices up to servers or beyond, I guess, by the time we get there. And we want to come up with a set of tools that makes developing for that environment tractable, deploying and keeping track of the software curve that you've got deployed tractable. And these devices are really cool. It's amazing. Everyone you show it to has a different thing they want to do with it. Some of them are just simple, putting one or two sunspots to work in conjunction. Some of them have more than that. So what have we done with it? At the labs, we've been working on a tool called Spot World. That is meant to be a framework to allow other people to develop a set of tools that work with thousands of nodes or more. Hundreds right now is actually what we're targeting, but you can imagine getting there. We did a 01 installation, which is this great art festival in San Jose. We worked with an artist, Ashok, and he designed a system where you can use an infrared beam from San Jose Plaza to light up buildings inside of the Fairmont. Light up rooms inside the building of the Fairmont. So you're looking at the facade of a hotel several stories tall. As you scan, you're looking through this telescope, you scan and you see colored lights pulse. And this is all actuated by sunspots. Very easily done, or relatively easily done, attached to a DMX light controller. So the sunspot was controlling DMX lights. We did this by writing Java code to do the DMX. And that code is now reusable. We use it for other things as well. We did a mesh deployment, so that's another interesting aspect of sunspots, is that they have, by default, they have mesh routers, which means that in a field of sunspots, if one of them can't talk to another one directly using the radio, It's able to talk to any neighbor, and that neighbor can pass the message on its behalf and so on. So as long as you can talk to one sunspot in the field, you can talk to any sunspot in that field, even if your radio doesn't get there. We're working on viral code deployment. Viruses generally aren't considered a good thing, but you can imagine if you've got 1,000 computers out there and you need to update the software on them, you'd really like to do it without having to go to 1,000 different places and do 1,000 different things. So you deploy the new code to one. It's recognized as a updated version of the code, and that one sunspot that has the code advertises that it's got a new version, and that version is then virally deployed through the rest of the field. You can do things like attach other devices very simply. So you've got GPS, you've got servos. We had an intern once who was in a orienteering competition, and we strapped a sunspot to him, and he didn't win, but we knew where he was the entire time. We've done larger, more serious installations. Like one is the, I don't know if you've heard of the Project Black Box. It's a shipping container that's outfitted to the data center. And so it's got a lot of computers in there, and while it's running, while it's powered, they have a sensor field internally to do things like smoke detection, water on the ground detection, things that you really want to do to make sure servers don't break. What we also wanted to check is when you power the thing down and you lift it on a crane to put it onto a truck, and then the truck delivers it to a barge, and the barge delivers it to another truck, that throughout that entire thing, what's happening to the servers that are installed now inside of that data center that's mobile. And basically they wanted to get this information. It's a sensor stream, and they wanted to deploy it quickly and battery-powered. So the sunspots were a good fit. We ended up talking to the Black Box guys for a while, and they were just fantastic. They let us go in there, put the sunspots in. Hopefully we got them some good data. But from our end, it ended up pushing a lot of really interesting points for what we were doing. Namely, there was you've got all these accelerometers arrayed through the shipping container. And you want to know when something happens, how did it happen? Did it happen the same everywhere? So imagine a shipping container sitting on a truck driving down a freeway. You want to know when the bump hits. Did the entire truck bed go up and down, or did the front edge go up first and then the second edge went up after it? Things like that. And so you want to correlate time very closely. The sunspots do have a hardware timer on there and a real-time clock. So in theory, you could just set the time once and do it, but in reality, there's skew. And you want to get the accuracy of this time correlation very, very tight in order to know details at around 100 hertz or about 1 kilohertz. So in order to do that, we wrote some Java code, because that's what we do. And what we wrote was a single beaconing system where a field of sunspots could decide amongst themselves who was the reference clock. That reference clock sends out a radio packet at what it considers a regular interval, and all the other sunspots report their data relative to the last received time beacon. And this worked really well. It was an entirely distributed algorithm, so if the one that was the time beacon ran out of battery or something happened to it, it went out of the radio field, a different one would assume the position, and the entire set of spots would continue to work. Another thing that we had to do that was different from anything we had done before was collect really large data sets in the field. What we ended up doing, the team, the four of us that were working on the Black Box project, was to we ended up actually at Fry's buying SD cards, and we just hot glued them to the back of one of our prototyping boards on the sunspot and soldered wires straight to the SPI connection. And then I wrote some Java code that did the initial just putting bits in and taking bits out. Eric Arsenault, another person on our team, decided that my code wasn't good enough. So he wrote a much better set, I have to admit, that was RMS, close to a file system, that would write more reliably and recover more reliably. And then our hardware guys found out about what we were doing and very quickly turned us a board, a daughter card for the sunspot, that had two MMC card ports on it, so the real ones, so a real piece of hardware, much more robust, much better for in the field, actually. And that's what's in the Black Box now. So we've got two data loggers in there that are redundantly reporting everything that happens. That was cool. The other big thing that we overcame was the time constraint, and that was cool. We've done that before, but this was a real installation. We had 2 weeks' notice that we were going to be able to do this, and it was something that we really wanted to get done. So we worked hard for that 2 weeks, but to be able to do an install like this in 2 weeks' time is pretty cool. The other thing we were doing that was cool, we actually didn't install this at first, it was later on, was we attached a cell modem so that the GPS, we had a GPS attached to a sunspot in that too, like the one I described earlier. And the GPS, later we attached it to a cell modem too. So whenever it was inside of a legal cellular field, it would send us back GPS data and the accelerometer data so we could see what was happening real time. So that was the black box project. Another project we're working on now is Swarm OS. It's just a Swarm technology. So we wanted to use the sunspots in Swarm. They're powerful processors for what's usually used in sensor networks. So we wanted to do autonomous behaviors at first on these mobile platforms. And since they're there, they're radio controlled, we can send programs to them over the air. We wanted to do this to control swarms and to see what the swarm is doing, debug them easily. And so on. So we are working on that now, working with Bruce at Sistronics to make a mobile platform. We're also attached sunspots to Creates already, which is an iRobot platform. And the control part was easy. Sunspots are just designed to do this. So we did the control. We started writing Java programs. So this is what we think is the advantage of using spots, is that you quickly get to writing the code that you want to write. You're not spending a lot of time worrying about servo controllers or about the radio, about the networking. You're writing Swarm code, and that's the advantage. So that's sunspots, and the Squawk is the VM that sits on top of it. It makes everything happen. It's JME compliant. Thanks everybody for being here, and I will see you soon.
This has been the Java.net Community Corner Podcast. Check out more mini talks from Java 1 2007 at today.java.net/pub/ct/Java 1 Community Corner, or subscribe to our feed with iTunes.